Welcome to Recalculating Small Business. Like its award-winning book, Recalculating is dedicated to small business in America. Your hosts are Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins. Don Mazzella is the editor-in-chief of the Small Business Digest. Dan Perkins is a registered investment advisor with 43 years' experience in managing money.
Dan Perkins here, your co-host, along with Don Mazzella of Recalculating for Small Business. Our radio program is dedicated to you, helping the small business owners increase their profits. We draw our name from Recalculating, voted the best small business book of 2017 by the Independent Press. In this book, it features ways to grow your small business. Now, here's Don Mazzella.
Dan, our next guest invites us to think differently about leadership. Barry Kaplan, along with Jeff Manchester, have written a book titled The Power of Vulnerability. In it, Kaplan and Manchester explain that the secret to unlocking potential and maximizing performance lies in leaders being willing to move over and invite everyone else to lead. We have Barry Kaplan with us today. Barry, welcome to the program. Tell us a little
bit about
your background.
Absolutely.
Your background a little bit about the book and how people can get it. So the floor is yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Don. I am an executive coach, and I work with small business leaders and their teams to get what they most want, even if they don't yet know. And my background comes from business. For over 25 years, I was an operator of businesses, all kinds of businesses in the travel and tourism business, from closely held to public to startup, and got my education the hard way through experience. And for the last 10 years, Jeff and I have teamed up to work with leaders in their current situation to get what they want, to find their purpose, to explore it, and to connect together as a team. And our book, The Power of Vulnerability, is about creating a team of leaders by recognizing that we're just plain people showing up at work, and if we reach inside and tell our full stories, then we're more likely to access and embrace our full power, our potential, and together get results that will even surprise us.
Well, Barry, I'm going to turn it over to Dan to start the question. I have some, but we'll wait for Dan. Dan, it's all yours.
Thank you. Thank you. Barry, I have to tell you, I read the script last night, and I was fixated on the idea that the secret to unlocking potential and maximizing performance lies in leaders being willing to move over and invite everyone else to lead. So as I read that and reread it numerous times between last night and this morning, I have to tell you one question kept coming to my mind every time I read it. And so I'm not in trying to put you on the spot. I just want you to hear my reaction to that particular statement, because I think it's a very powerful statement. Why won't Hillary Clinton go away?
Okay. Why won't Hillary Clinton go away? There are a couple of reasons. One, her former opponent, our current president, won't let her go away. He keeps bringing her back into the conversation. And that inspires her to stay in the energy that brought her to the show in the first place. But I think ultimately it is about Hillary. Hillary has not yet achieve what she wants most. And while she will probably never be president of the United States, she's not finished with her message. So she's not going away. And I'm going to bring it back to her power inside. She hasn't been fulfilled. On the other hand, I think for the good of her cause and her party, she needs to step aside and let others lead.
Well, that's what I thought was amazing about the quote is that it really is what you're saying. When you say willing to move over and invite everyone else to lead, I've done a lot of consulting in my 40-plus years in business for big companies and small companies. And one of the things that I've – and since our program is about small business – one of the things that I've seen is that the leaders, the founders, if you would, sometimes can be the greatest impediment for the company moving to the next level because their inability or unwillingness to share the reins, if you would, or turn over the day-to-day operation of the company to somebody else, whether it be an employee, whether it be an outsider they bring in or one of the family members. It's very difficult when people have built something to give it up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that's what we call the Hillary phenomenon, but we see it all the time in small businesses, family businesses, closely held businesses, even large businesses. Succession plan doesn't start when the person dies. Succession planning, frankly, starts from the first day in one's tenure. And that's the proper way, not just for planning, but the proper way for igniting the potential inside the team. We find there are so many young leaders who have so much potential that is yet to be tapped because they're waiting for permission from the boss, from the owner. Part of our plea is for us to give ourselves permission to unlock the power that we have inside and to step into that power and speak up, speak out, stand up, and challenge. So when rather than wait for the boss, our belief is that we can actually look for leaders inside the team. It doesn't have to be the boss. Anyone can step up, can step and step in. And that's part of the call to power that we're advocating.
So let me follow that if I could with another thought. Don and I have talked to many, many people over the last 10 to 11 months, talking about the changes in the economy because of the Trump phenomenon. We had an eight-year period where we had marginal growth in GDP at best, a period of time when many, many people, business leaders, were reluctant to take any more risk than what they were already taking or taking any risk at all. They downsized their corporations. They've done a lot of things defensive in nature. Now, all of a sudden, we have Mr. Trump, who is the champion for business in general for the United States, believing that that is the business of America. And there's been a whole fundamental shift in psychology about willing to take risk and the opportunities for growth. We've got the Federal Reserve Bank in New York is now saying that they think that fourth quarter may approach 4%. Goldman Sachs says that 2018 probably will be 4% plus. Numbers we haven't seen in a long time, almost an entire generation in the business cycle. So we've got a problem of how do we take organizations that have been defensive and turn them into offensive weapons.
Absolutely, and that's the potential. That's the power of vulnerability. And we use vulnerability as courage, not as weakness. Vulnerability is the risk. It's the risk to go inside and ask the difficult question, to challenge myself and my team. It's about taking the risk, because even though we're uncertain around the outcome, it is shifting from a defensive posture where I am coming from a spirit of scarcity and I'm protecting what I have, to a spirit of abundance where I'm willing to take the risk to achieve more, to get to potential, not only in terms of production or profits or performance, but in terms of the potential of my creativity, of the potential for the innovation of all of us as a team. And the great thing about risk, as we know, is that we want to diversify. And we can diversify our risk across the team when we let everyone in on the team to speak up, to bring everything they've got. So the power, leveraging the power of vulnerability, is about taking that risk, about going beyond the edge of what I thought was permissible because of my own self-limiting beliefs, because of what the boss or the owner has mandated, or what I think, the story I tell myself around the boundaries that he has set. So I think this is a way for us to tap in to the psychology around us that is going to provide a historic catalyst for risk-taking and growth.
We're speaking with Barry Kaplan, co-author, along with Jeff Manchester, on a new book coming out quickly called The Power of Vulnerability. Do you have a website for your book or for your company at the moment?
Yes, our website is shift180.com. That's the name of our company, shift180.com. You can order the book on the site or through Amazon or Barnes & Noble or IndieBound.
Okay, super. Thank you. Let me pick up a thought from Don. we have a very large small business management and small business companies that follow our program in pretty good numbers. And given if I could ask you to take a moment, and the first question deals with owners. What are three or four or five things that the business owners that we've been talking about who've been reluctant to let go of the strings and step aside, if you would, as you call it, and look for new leadership within the company, what are four or five things that those people should be looking at to do starting in the new year of 2018?
Great question. And let me start off with this. Safety is probably the most important ingredient in leveraging power of vulnerability. So we start by going slow to go fast. So owners who have been resistant, typically because of fear or their own self-limiting beliefs, it's okay to go slow to go fast. And the first thing we want to do is connect at the source of power. So get your team together. We're not talking about touchy-feely song fests. We're talking about an offsite where we sit around in a circle and start connecting with our own personal stories. Let's get to know each other, because it's through our stories that we're going to identify the power that we were unaware of. typically, as an owner, I'm hiring people to fill a role, to satisfy a particular need or function. And I may get that, but what I'm missing and where the potential lies is in that unknown. So I want to source that. I want to explore it. And at an offsite where we're getting to know each other and connecting at a deeper level, where I'm learning about the whole story of someone, where I'm learning about their hopes and their dreams and their aspirations, as well as their fears and hardships, I'm getting in touch with that potential, that power. And the more I get to know each of my teammates, the safer it's going to be for me to tap into it as the owner, and the safer it will be for each of my teammates to express it, to bring it to work, to bring it to the challenge of the day. That's the first couple of things, maybe the only thing that we need to do in the first quarter. If we can do that a couple of times, I think the team is that will catalyze the team, and it will be running not only more efficiently, not only connecting as a team rather than a functional work group, but the communication will deepen, and we will start listening between the words. We will start seeing opportunities that we had previously missed. So rather than give you a list of five, I'd rather focus on that.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your featured book. I want to tell you about a recent interview I had with Bob Bethel, a turnaround specialist with lots of success in small business. Bob's new book is Strengthen Your Business, Fail-Proof Strategies for Small Business. He tells us of his life successes and failures that have made him and his clients so successful. Over the years, Bob has brought 77 companies back from the brink and changed them into thriving, profitable businesses. His energy is amazing, and at 74, he proves that you can still have a great deal to give others if you just try. His suggestions are easy to understand and very helpful. One insight struck me was that most companies do not have a plan. The old Chinese proverb says, if you don't know where you're going, then any road will take you there, is true today. Bob Bethel's book, Strengthen Your Business, can be found at Amazon.com or can be ordered at your local bookstore. This has been Dan Perkins with your Recalculating.biz featured book. Dan Perkins here with your Recalculating Small Business tip of the day. Do you know what spilled milk smells like in a few days in a hot car? Many small business people use their trucks or cars as transportation for them and, in some cases, employees. It's also a place to do business and you want to keep it clean. I have a builder friend that took a new employee to a job site who packed his lunch. At lunchtime, he bought a carton of milk to go with his sandwich. One day, the worker didn't finish the milk and set the bottle on the floor. When he shut the door, the milk fell over and spilled on the floor and sat there for the rest of the day, and then the employee returned and noticed that the milk had been spilled. My friend tried everything to get out that foul smell. After spending a considerable sum on carpet cleaners, eventually he had to replace the carpet. Make sure you carry at least one roll of paper towels. The nose you save may be your own. Check out recalculating.biz for more useful small business suggestions. This has been Dan Perkins with your small business tip of the day.
Welcome back to Recalculating, the program dedicated to American small business. Now it's time to bring together our two experts, Dan Perkins and Don Mazzella, as they discuss things that are happening now that are affecting your business success.
Can I jump in here and ask a question?
Sure.
Following up that one? Because in my experience, Barry, and by the way, this is a fascinating discussion, and Dan, you've taken us ways I hadn't even thought of, but what I've found is, in my experience, for instance, well, at one point I put a 26-year-old woman in as editor-in-chief of a 300,000 circulation magazine, and she that was in the dredges, and a year later we won the National Press Club Award for Best Consumer Magazine. But other times I've put people in, and they've shrunk from the responsibility. how do you choose, how do you know that you have the people in place that enables you to let them lead? I know it's difficult to get the idea of leading, but how do you find the people that can lead?
Well, it's a great question. And let me start by saying, even though it is complex, if I don't select someone to lead, then I'm going to stay in the same place. And I will be stuck as the owner with the limits of my potential. So I've got to take that chance. I've got to take that risk. And going back to what I was saying earlier, as you experience, sometimes you take a chance and it works, and other times it doesn't. There is a chance. But the more I connect with the people, the more likely it is for that person, that next leader, to emerge because she steps in. So it's not just up to me as the owner to guess right or pick well or take a chance and hopefully win. It's also about the talent emerging because I am creating a safe place, a safe environment for the talent to rise, for the talent to emerge. So it could be the 26-year-old who's the most recent hire, or it could be a 62-year-old who is just coming out of her shell. It's not about age or even experience, and it's about that untapped potential inside that I am inviting out, that I am letting emerge. So as the owner, I want to make it safe for that to happen so I can shift some of the burden or responsibility to the team, for the talent to come out.
Thank you. I want to follow up on that because I see as a small businessman myself who also worked on Wall Street and as a result of working on Wall Street had staffs of people, in the hundreds working for me. In a small business, it seems to me that it's easier to identify, as Don just talked about, somebody because the owner in any kind of an important position within the company, the owner is going to be very much intimately involved in the hiring process. But in a large company, the president may have a tacit interview, but maybe it's left to the division directors or department managers and human resources to find the people that they need to help the company. So the larger you go, isn't it more difficult for a corporation to have an individual employee emerge out of a cast of thousands?
No. Whether it's a small business or a large organization, ultimately we're working in a collection of teams. And for us to truly create a team of leaders, I as the CEO may have seven direct reports, each of whom have their own teams, each of whom may have their teams. So we become a number of circles that come together that create that create the power of the organization. And as the CEO, I want to infuse my leaders with that same zeal to create teams of leaders. So my HR director or my VP of manufacturing is merely a surrogate for that spirit that I bring to my own first team.
Yeah.
When that happens, it cascades.
Okay. The company is stagnant and doesn't go anywhere. If we don't create the opportunity for people to emerge, then your implication is that the companies really can't grow and prosper. So we've been talking about management in the last few minutes. In the few minutes that we have left, can we talk about employees? What should employees do who feel like they can make a difference in the company? What should they be doing to let the management know that they want to play. Or as somebody once said, coach, give me the ball.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, that's part of it. Coach, give me the ball. Raise your hand. Speak up at a town meeting or even a Friday afternoon pizza and beer party. Speak out. Speak to the boss. Find an opportunity to offer that idea or challenge the status quo. Rather than complain about something that isn't working, challenge yourself to take responsibility for a new innovative approach be bold and write it out and submit it. Doesn't have to be formal. It can be very informal. The point is a couple of fold. One, most people who we survey say, I have more potential than my company realizes or that my boss has tapped into. And you know, you can suffer from the self-limiting belief that that will always be the case, or you can overcome that story and tell yourself another one. I can. And more importantly, this year, I will. I will speak up. I will knock on the door, raise my hand, sit next to the boss. I will write an email. I will challenge the status quo with a new way of doing things. And if I don't succeed right away, I won't take that as failure. I will take that as learning another approach. I will fail fast and come back and be even stronger. Drop the ball, pick it up.
Do you think that there are a number of employees, I'm not going to try and quantify, just a number of employees who rather than fight, choose to switch, choose to leave the company because a recruiter, and I think this is going to be a problem, a serious problem of human resources available who feel
yes.
like they contribute to move on.
Yeah, I absolutely. And what happens? You know, what happens, Dan? They go to the next place, and often the same thing happens. So they become professional switchers. And that's great. That's great for the intermediaries who arrange for that switch, but it doesn't mm-hmm. really help the individual, and it certainly doesn't help the organizations where they are. Right. Sometimes the switch, or as we call it, shift, the shift has to be inside me. How do I take responsibility for what happened here and make that change? I'm the CEO yeah. of my life, and I can step into my power by stepping in and speaking out. So let me try that first before I switch. Maybe that's maybe that's ultimately what I need to do. But let me test it here. It's safer to test it here.
Yeah.
Dan, I hate to break in like this, but it's time to Barry Kaplan, tell us your book again and how people can get it.
The name of our book is The Power of Vulnerability, How to Create a Team of Leaders by Shifting Inward. You can order it by going to our website. The name of our company is Shift180, and our website is shift180.com, shift180.com. You can order it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or IndieBound, The Power of Vulnerability.
Thank you so much, Barry, for being with us.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit costs. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your featured book, I want to tell you about a recent interview I had with Bob Bethel, a turnaround specialist with lots of success in small business. Bob's new book is Strengthen Your Business, Fail-Proof Strategies for Small Business. He tells us of his life successes and failures that have made him and his clients so successful. Over the years, Bob has brought 77 companies back from the brink and changed them into thriving, profitable businesses. His energy is amazing, and at 74, he proves that you can still have a great deal to give others if you just try. His suggestions are easy to understand and very helpful. One insight struck me was that most companies do not have a plan. The old Chinese proverb says, if you don't know where you're going, then any road will take you there, is true today. Bethel's book, Strengthen Your Business, can be found at Amazon.com or can be ordered at your local bookstore. This has been Dan Perkins with your Recalculating.biz featured book. Dan Perkins here for Songs and Stories for Soldiers with your veterans tip of the day. Did you know that the suicide rate for women vets is 12 times that of their sisters in civilian life? Did you know that 1 in 4 women vets feel uncomfortable about talking to people about their mental health issues? Did you know almost 600,000 women vets in America are suffering from PTSD? It's time to help. It's time for all of us to encourage our sisters, mothers, and wives to get help by contacting their local VA hospital, clinic, or community-based health care center. So if you know a woman vet that is suffering, go to va.gov and find their nearest VA facility. This has been Dan Perkins of Songs and Stories for Soldiers.us with your veterans tip of the day.
Allie Craig is an energetic expert who knows how to make large ideas doable for anyone who is serious about taking action and creating an influential brand. Allie, welcome to the program. I've heard a lot about you. I've read a lot about you, but our audience doesn't. So please tell us a little bit of your background and what you do before we do anything else.
Well, I got into the crazy field currently known as branding back in 1998. So that is when AOL dial-up still existed, and you were lucky if you had a one-page website that had a color on it. And ever since then, I have worked with everyone from large corporations like Marriott to C-level execs on Wall Street to mom-and-pops on Main Street, helping them really create powerful brands that don't just convert but actually create relationships with their audience. And so I do that by using neurohuman branding, which is the science and psychology behind why we humans do what we really do. And right now, I recently just had the first season of Fix My Brand, Allie Craig, on the Success Network, which is an Apple TV network. And it was the top rated for the network for the fall season. So and in that show, we actually redid 9 brands in 9 weeks from all different types of entrepreneurs from around the world. So to take them from fledgling brands to fierce competition.
Wow. Well, I'm going to throw you a curve because something came across my desk yesterday that I think requires. You may or may not have heard that Playboy is thinking of ending its print edition after 80-odd years or whatever the number happens to be. I was talking to someone, and they said they didn't think it would affect the brand. But my feeling was that without the magazine, the brand really will over time become worthless. What do you think about that, Allie?
Well, Playboy is similar to the Coach issue, which is those are iconic brands. Playboy is an iconic brand in America and honestly the world, and so. Though I understand it from a cost perspective side that print probably isn't selling well and the cost of doing print is so much more than digital, I agree with you. If you get rid of your print, you're losing that iconicness of the brand. And with Hugh Hefner no longer with us and the Playboy Mansion no longer being the Playboy Mansion, those iconic elements that were the Playboy brand are quickly going away. And if we lose the print issue, that brand won't be around in the next 5 years.
Well, thank you. Now I'm going to turn you over to Dan Perkins because I'm sure he has some more questions.
Allie, it's a pleasure to speak with you. And I was fascinated. I was reading the little script that Don sent me last night. But I want to follow up on the question about that Don raised about the Playboy brand. This is the second major change that the magazine did that in my opinion, has affected its brand in a declining market. And I don't mean necessarily a declining print market. They made a decision some time ago about how they were going to treat nudity in the magazine. And now they've been working very hard on trying to build an online presence. And but people like myself and Don, the older generation, the baby boomers, grew up with Playboy. And as we have gotten older, we have been distracted by other things. Not that one can't be distracted by a beautiful woman, regardless of age, but other things have taken on priority for us. So maybe it was an iconic brand for a generation, but the next generation doesn't see it as iconic anymore. Is that possible?
I don't think so, because if you look at the E! Entertainment Network Girls Next Door TV show that ran for numerous seasons, which followed Hugh Hefner and all his girlfriends, that affected the Gen X, Gen Y, and millennial generation. Those are very popular shows. And even though some of the former girlfriends have come out and said not so positive things about Hugh Hefner, the truth is that I think still for the guys of any generation right now, Hugh Hefner is still kind of that, oh, I wish I was. You know, I wish I could be best friends with him when he was alive. So I do think there's an iconicness still to the brand, no matter what. I think what the brand didn't do properly is it didn't get into the new era of digital because it was trying to distinguish itself from just being porn. I mean, let's be honest here.
Right.
So so in doing that, it lost its marketplace of the online younger generation a little bit. But I don't think it can't be returned. I think it could happen if they want to start thinking outside the box and maybe go back to some of its culturally historical elements, like the Playboy clubs and the elements they used to have back in the 50s and 60s. You know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to consider maybe bringing that back, because I'm pretty sure a Playboy club in Vegas would do really well nowadays.
Yeah. So let's move away from sex, drugs, and rock and roll and move back to our business, which is small business. Tell me, I'm a small entrepreneur. I maybe have myself and one other employee. Why should I be concerned about my brand, or do I even need a brand?
You already have a brand. So if you don't define your brand, your audience and your competition will define it for you. So it would be better to control the conversation versus have someone else control the conversation on your behalf. So everyone already has a brand. Even if you work for a large company or a direct sales company or something like that, you still have your brand within that organization. And if you're a true entrepreneur, of course, you have your brand as your company and your business as well.
So a small businessman or woman, why is brand important to them?
Well, basically, when you look at where branding came from historically, brand started in the late 1800s or when Coke and Pepsi and we had all these inanimate products coming out. So mom and pop weren't selling the product. You weren't going down to the Farmer Joe and getting your produce from Joe necessarily. This is when the industrial age started to come about. And so we had to create brands to sell the products because no one was buying just Coke sitting on the shelf. So we had to create a personality around this inanimate object, and that's where the idea of branding has come from. The great thing that entrepreneurs miss most of the time is that being a small business doesn't inhibit your brand. You already have a defined personality, and so understanding how to use your personality to your brand's advantage for what your audience relationship should be is actually easier for you than it would be for a large corporation to do.
So let's use ourselves as guinea pigs. Let's deal with recalculating the show that you're on right now. We have positioned, and I use the word position versus branded, but maybe they're compatible. We've said that we want to be the authority for small business owners in America on the radio. And so we've established what our brand is. Then how does one go about in today's electronic world? How does recalculating.biz increase the awareness by expanding its brand?
So that's twofold answer on that one. So first off, I do kind of wonder if you have a position over a brand, because a brand is about a relationship between you, your product, so you and your product is one, and your audience that you're serving. So if there's no relationship necessarily there, meaning engagement, interaction, then it's a position more than a brand. So then to the social media point, it is all about the relationship. And most brands, most small businesses don't necessarily do this accurately, because we look at social media as a to-do list item. Like, check, I went and posted on Facebook today. Check, I did a LinkedIn article today. And that's not what it is at all. It is a relationship. This is just supposed to be a way, as if like you were going down to the golf, you know, range to go shoot some balls, and you were going to go meet up with potential clients there. That's making a relationship. Same thing for social media. It's not necessarily about just throwing content out there to say, hi, look at me, look at me, look at me. It's about engaging and really creating that relationship. And sometimes it's really hard for small businesses to do, because it takes time. And you have so many potential people, which is great, but because it takes so much time, and that's the number one thing most small businesses struggle with, is finding enough time to get it all done during the day.
I wanted to jump in here and just modify a little bit and ask a question, because you asked Allie the question I was going to ask her, because from what I've heard, she's really one of the best around. But Allie, I look at it a little differently than Dan, only in the sense that we emphasize how you grow your business, a small business, rather than being the be-all to small business. And to me, that's a subtle but important difference that Dan and I have been trying to resolve for the past 6 months. But to me, And Dan asked the right question. We're sitting out there where we have almost 100,000 people listen to every one of these shows, and we're trying to figure out how do we extend this brand to more people.
So you're right. There is a difference between being just the go-to expert and then training people on how to grow their business, because your audience will view that in a different way. Because an expert, you can just be an expert in understanding small business and have really great contacts where you're referring people to, so you're more of a connector style. But being able to say that you can train people in how to really monetize and grow their small business is a slightly different stance. As for really creating your influence and your reach, you know, yay that you have so many people listening to the show. That's awesome. What I'm finding and realizing is, especially there's been a switch. So there's been a cultural shift happening, and this goes to neurohuman branding. And so for the longest time, if you were dealing with a company in the West, and you were dealing with entrepreneurs especially, significance was a huge element that you needed to add into your brand. And significance goes back to human needs psychology. And human needs psychology says that we have 6 fundamental human needs, that no matter when you were born or where you were born, we have them. And so significance has been a huge one for most of my career. The last 4 or 5 years, I began to see this cultural shift that actually love is becoming one. So instead of just saying you're the rock star, you're awesome, as the way to get people to come in your door and to receive you and to listen to what you have to say and to what you're offering. Now, people are wanting to know that it's not just about what they're doing in life that matters. It's that they matter, and that there's that no matter if they achieve it or not, they're still wanted for who they are. So no matter if you can buy my product or not, you're still wanted. So what that means to your brand and growing your audience is, I would want to make sure that you have a diversification of ways that they can connect with you on multiple levels, and you're speaking to those pain points, for lack of a better term, because they truly are. There are innate human pain points, to make sure that everything you're posting out there is speaking to the fact that they are significant, they do matter, what they have to say matters, that their business matters, and that, you know, for your more, like the radio show, say that, you know, no matter what, like, hey, even if your budget's zero, you can still connect with us. We're still here for you. Here's how to do it. You know, listen to our radio show, listen to our podcast. And then by really making that clear to them, they'll start to dive into your brand more as long as you have the offers there to, you know, get your audience at the different levels.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
Dan Perkins here with your recalculating small business tip of the day. Did you know that a candle can be an energy saver for home and office? An old-fashioned candle can be a new-fashioned energy saver, and at the same time provide a warm glow to any home office. Adding a candle seems like a silly thing to do, but it can help check for drafts. You can use the candle to test if new windows are needed. Here's how. First, take a roll of blue painter's tape and tear off pieces and put them on your left arm. Pass the candle around the opening and mark the spots around each window and door where the candle flame flickers. When you have finished your test, step back and see if you have tape around all of the window or only one side. The more tape you have on the window, the more money you will save by replacing those windows and doors. Check out recalculating.biz for more useful small business suggestions. This has been Dan Perkins with your small business tip of the day.
Welcome back to Recalculating, the program dedicated to American small business. Now it's time to bring together our two experts, Dan Perkins and Don Mazzella, as they discuss things that are happening now that are affecting your business success.
Back to you, Dan. Well, I have to digest that. That's just... No, I'm paying you a compliment, Allie. You're saying a lot.
I took it that way.
I wanted to ask a follow-up question. And maybe it's an old-fashioned word to use, but maybe it means something similar to what you're talking about. If I used to teach in Wall Street how to sell, and I told people, taught brokers how to sell all kinds of products, but I tried to teach them to understand the selling process. And that in trying to get a new customer, you may have to make 5 to 7 contacts in order to convince that particular customer or potential customer to come in and bring their money to you to manage. But I used to use the word that it's a relationship transaction. What I meant by that was that if you have one way, only one direction of your communication, and you don't have an opportunity or a platform or a vehicle, whatever the right word is, for the communications to come back the other way, then you're creating not much of a bond or relationship with that particular customer. So what I'm thinking is, if you look at our show, we send out information through people like you. We do interviews, but there is very little structure within our venue in order to allow the customer to come back to us. And so my question, I know it's a long way to get there. Are you saying that you have to create a transaction so that our listeners have the ability to communicate with us, and we in turn communicate back to them, answering their questions or dealing with their needs or problems?
Yes, and I would call it a relationship, not a transaction. Nowadays, okay, you have to have the relationship before, and the statistic of where it used to be 5 to 7 times of a contact, we're actually up to 14 to 16 times where you have to engage with the person before they'll even consider purchasing your product now. And so those can't be 14 to 16 times of buy my product. Those have to be relationship connections of where you're really caring about them and their needs first. And that's really where the love portion of human needs psychology comes in, because that's the reason why the increases isn't just because there's so much noise out there. The increase is because we're not getting the human connections that we really need. And so the positive for any brand is that your brand can begin to take that place of making that human connection with your audience, which is huge, because then your brand is fundamentally part of that person's life. They're not going to leave you. They will be your brand ambassador for you and promote your business for you. These relationships take time to build, though, and that is the one thing that most entrepreneurs and most people in general don't want to do. We want everything so instant, and the truth is that there's ways to accelerate your growth of the relationship, but it still takes time. No one's going to meet you and be like, oh, my gosh, I want to give you $1 million. It's just not going to happen. But with regards to your brand in particular, yes, I think if there's a way for them to not just consume information – but either make challenges or live calls where they can then take in the information but then get feedback on taking action upon the information would be huge, because we can Google any information. No one's buying information anymore. People are buying the experience. Whatever you do, if you sell an e-product, you're a business coach, you are selling a product, they're not actually really buying that. They're buying the experience you're giving them. And so you need to create a more well-rounded experience within your brand to have them dig in deeper and become those brand ambassadors for you.
Okay. Given that we're talking to somebody like you and the gentleman we had before you on the show, and we're dealing with a plethora of experts who have great amounts of experience and knowledge to share with the audience. If we could just use your organization, you for example, I don't know whether you're taking on new clients or or what you're trying to do, but it would seem to me that if there was a way that we could facilitate a relationship between a potential user of your service and you on a handoff or a direct basis, then we would be providing value to our listeners in helping them grow their business. Does that make sense?
Yes, and totally yes, because true vetted referrals are the hardest things to find nowadays. When you are talking about small business and entrepreneurs, the truth is that for some reason we don't like to really share our resources with one another. And so though you may go to networking events or are online, you're really kind of stuck at the mercy of the ads, like what ad is going to sell you the best. And just because someone makes an amazing Facebook ad or does a great webinar that's trying to sell you into their course doesn't mean they're truly an expert or the right expert for you. So mm-hmm. I find after doing this for almost 20 years this year, my greatest resource that I give to my brand is – I have a plethora of very vetted experts, because the truth is that when you're building a brand, you need teams. You need people to help with your website, your print, your graphics, your copy, your Facebook ads, your social media, all these pieces now. And you can't do it alone. And the truth is there's a lot of people who call themselves professionals in any field, and they're not really professionals. So by being a go-to resource of knowing that whoever you refer to is truly an expert and won't screw that company over, that brand over, is godsend today and so wanted and needed, and you can't Google that.
So you're saying, if I'm understanding you correctly, you're saying that a genuine, provable endorsement has enormous value.
Huge. It's social proof, okay. But in a it's social proof in a level, because you already are known in your niche. It's not just, you know, we all see social proof on websites of these testimonials. You're like, well, who's that person? I have no idea who they are. Susie at SusieQ.com, like, whatever. Don't know who she is. But people already know you and trust you because of the platform you've created with the show. And so by whoever you guys endorse, that holds social proof weight of, that, yes, this person is the real deal. This person really knows their stuff when it comes to leadership or marketing or whatever their expertise is. So you
right.
guys are already there. You're on the right path.
Okay. So let's move away from us and let's go back to our listeners, the small business, even though we're small business people too. If they really want to try this concept of brand, what do you do that would help them? And are you looking for new clients?
Everyone's always looking for new clients. And if you're not, then you're not in business on some level. And the truth is, you already have a brand. If you chose it or not, you have a brand. And most people have already started to create pieces. And I love hearing this. They're like, hey, I'm new, and so I'm just going to, like, piece this together for a little bit. And it can work to a degree. But then there always comes a time, normally the 4 to 6 year time frame, if you make it that far in business, that you really because your brand isn't your logo, first off. Your brand isn't your website. Those are all pieces to your brand. And your brand is the visual and verbal representation of what you're about and what you're standing for. What is this relationship that you're in between you and your audience? So you have to look at the elements of your brand, so your website, your business cards, your logos. They are pieces to a puzzle. And so they should, in the end, all fit together to make this beautiful picture of what your company is about. So that way when someone does see all these elements put together, your audience sees what you're about and in turn says, that is the company for me.
Okay. So we're almost out of time. Give us let our listeners know your website and any other information that you want to give them about you and your services.
Well, the easiest way to get a hold of me is to go to alliecraig.com, alliecraig.com, and there you can see all of my different companies and projects that I have going, from branding services to the reality TV show and everything else in between. So it's the easiest way to get a snapshot of who I am and what I offer to you.
Super. Thank you so much. Don, back to you.
We have been talking with branding expert Allie Craig. A link to her website will be on www.recalculating.biz tonight. Also on our website, you can hear a recording of every Recalculating show. You can email us at editor@recalculating.biz. Allie, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you guys for having me.
You know, Dan, before we go any further, I want our audience to know about your new runaway hit book on Alzheimer's disease and how it affects teenagers. Please tell us about it.
Yeah, Don, thank you. The book is called Why Can't Grammy Remember Me? It's a book written primarily for children ages 9 to 12, but really needs to be read by the entire family. And what I try to do is I try to take the subject matter of dementia and the challenges to a different level in the form of a mystery story with my two little detectives, two little girls, Hudson and Charlotte. And it really creates a breakthrough opportunity for small children and parents and families to begin to understand the problem with dementia. See, Don, the real challenge is that the children are the forgotten people. Mom and dad spend so much time working to try and take care of mom and dad, they don't take the time to explain to the children what's going on in grandma or grandpa's brain. So you can buy it at Amazon.com, or you can order it through your local bookstore or any online bookstore besides Amazon has it available. Why Can't Grammy Remember Me? Illustrations are spectacular. A story by Dan Perkins.
Your runaway bestseller, new book.
Why Can't Grammy Remember Me? By Dan Perkins. Well, we enjoyed the show today, and we encourage you to go to the website, as I said before, recalculating.biz, listen to last shows, and we're also going to start giving you some heads up about who's coming in the future. And we thank you for listening, and we'll see you on Thursday.
Thank you for joining us on Recalculating. We hope the information you received on today's episode was helpful to you in starting and growing your business. Please go to our website, recalculating.biz, to contact us, to listen to past shows, and see special offers. Until next time, remember, if you grow, we grow. Join us next week for more helpful ideas to make your business a great success. Recalculating, a program designed to help you be successful.